Greetings, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now in Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Vav Amud Bet, at the bottom of the Amud. And over the course of this podcast, we are going to look at four different cases that the first one of springs off of the discussion with which we ended the last podcast, the machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about the liability of an upper dweller towards helping the lower chatzer build his fence. So at the bottom of the Amud, Hanu Beitrei Dahavu Dairi, there were two people who lived in such a situation, Charave Dairi Loi v'Charave Dairi Tatoi. In this case, it was upper and lower residents. Itbar Tatoi, the lower residence broke in such a way that it started sinking, and it was becoming difficult for the lower guy to get into his house. Amalei Tatoi Liloi, so the lower guy said to the upper guy, Tov Nivne, let's build the house back up. Amalei Anishap Kardayuna, I'm doing fine. Amalei Isterei Anavi Ivne, he said, I'll personally tear it down and rebuild it, meaning that wall. The house. Amalei Liduchta Lemedera. The upper guy said, I have nowhere to live in the meantime. Amalei Ana Ogarlach Duchta, I'll rent you a place. Amarlei lo tachana, I don't want to go through the trouble. So lo kam mitarli. So the guy below said, I can't live here properly. Shuf akrisach v'ul v'shuf akrisach v'fuk. So the guy on top said, crawl in on your belly and crawl out on your belly. So Amar Rav Chama bedina kamake. Rav Chama said, the fellow on top has the right to say that. V'hani mili d'lomatu k'shuri l'matu me'asarva. That's only if the beams, meaning the floor of the upper one, does not come within 10 tefachim of the ground. Matuk shuri the matmi asar, but if that's the case, matzemar the matmi asar shoot the didihu v'lo shamidlach. The guy can say, you know what? Within 10 tefachim, that's my reshut, and now I don't have such a responsibility to allow that to happen. And now you have to agree to allow me to build it up. And by the way, this is only if they didn't make an agreement when they first bought in that if the house collapses, etc. Well, atnu gabi adari, if they did make such an agreement, satu yuvana, then they do build it. But if they made such an agreement and they didn't specify in a drop distance, then how low does the house have to get before the lower guy can force the upper guy to build? They quoted Rav Nachman as saying, Kotasha Shaninu, like we have later on in Masechet Bava Batra about what a proper size of a house is, Rumo Kechatzir Kova Chatzir Achbo. The height of a house should be half of its length plus half of its width, based on the Hechal. The Hechal was 20 high and 40 long, and it was 20 wide and 40 long and 30 high. So I'm a little Rabba said to the students who quoted Rav Nachman through three steps that was his statement. Lava minilchua. Didn't I tell Lotilibe Buki Sriki Rav Nachman? Don't hang empty bottles on Rav Nachman. Meaning, don't make claims of Rav Nachman about things he didn't say. Hachem Rav Nachman. I know what Rav Nachman really said. Ki didari in sheet like people normally live. Vechama. So what is that shear? Funabari Rav Shua. Ki hechid da'ili isuryata d'vachuz of a hadar. If you have a string of jugs that can come into the house and be swung about, that's high enough. In other words, he gave some sort of a shear based on normal usage, and it wasn't based on this measure of half the length plus half the width as being the proper height, which is actually quite high if you think about it. It was lower than that. So if they didn't make such a condition, then the upper guy can remain as he is until the beams get within Asara Tvachim. That's very low. If, on the other hand, they did make a condition, but the condition was not specific, then then once it gets too low for normal living, the lower guy can force the upper guy to help him build. Now, Hugara, second case, the Havu Bani Ashite Achore Kavid Achare. He was building a wall in back of another guy's windows. Amalekamafla the light. So the fellow with the house said, "You're blocking my windows. You're darkening it." You know what? I'll seal the windows. I'll build you new windows higher than my wall. You're going to hurt my wall. You're going to hurt the structure of my wall if you do that. You know what? I'll tear down your wall all the way up until the place of the new windows. And then I'll make a wall that'll go all the way up, and I'll make windows higher than mine. Amarle Ashita Mitatoi Atika, but the lower wall is old, and to put a new wall above it, it won't stand. the foundation is not strong enough. Amrle, Satan ala alara, so you know what, I'll tear down the entire wall. Uvanina lava vina lachkave begava, and I'll put windows in it. Amrle, chada ashita chadta bekule beita atika lokaim, if I have a house that's an old house and one is a new wall, the wall won't stand. So Amrle, Satan ala lekule beita. So this reminds us of the Bakantza Barkantza, okay, I'll destroy the whole house and I'll build it. Uvanina lachkave minyan, I'll build you a new house with windows. This guy really wanted to have his wall there. Same thing, I got nowhere to go. I'll rent you a place. I don't want to be bothered. In other words, the fellow in the house is basically being very obstinate about not meeting the other fellow even partway to help him build his wall. Rav Chama b'din k'makiv, and Rav Chama says the same halacha, which is that the fellow who doesn't want the other one to build the wall and block him out is right, has the rights. So now, Hainuhach, why is Rav Chama ruling the same way in both cases? Why do we need to mention both cases? We understand why he ruled that way. Why mention them both? V'hatulamali, what do I need both cases for? After all, Rav Chama just said in the earlier case that a person has the rights within his own property to remain there and not to be forced out to help another guy have an easier situation. The answer is Hakamashlan Nafagavzal Mishtamish Elativna Ovetzivi Ba'alma. Well, the reason that the second case was there was to tell me that even if the house that he's using isn't even his house for residence, but it's just a storage shed, he still has the right to say, you can't block me out. Alright, third case. Hanu Beitre Ati Achi de Palgi Badari Adari. There were two brothers who split father's inheritance. Chad Matya Asplida, Chad Matya Tarbitza. One took the house and one took the garden. Azalu de Matya Tarbitza, the fellow with the garden, came Kabani Ashita Apumed Asplida. He built a wall right on the border with the house. So the fellow, the brother with the house, said, you're blocking me. I'm building in my own property. Rav Chama b'din k'amarle. Rav Chama again said, he has the right to say that. So Amarle Ravina Ravashi. Maishna mi'ad etanya. Shnei achim shachaku. So why is this different? In other words, Rav Chama said that the fellow who has the garden and who put a wall in the end of his garden that blocks this other guy's area of his house has the right to do it. So Ravina asked Ravashi, how's that any different than the following right? Shnei achim shachaku, if you have brothers that split father's property. One took a vineyard and the other took a grain field. The fellow with the vineyard gets dalan amot on the border of his vineyard into the grain field. That's why they split it up. So in other words, even though that's the property that you took, I have rights in that property because that's how we arrange the split. I have to have dalan amot, which is called kedei avodat hakerem. It's a sugi in kilayim. Enough room to be able to work the vineyard from the outside of the vineyard. So why is it any different here? When they split up, the fellow with the house should also have rights in the garden to have the garden not have something built there that's going to block him. Amarle, so Ravashi answered, Hatam da'alu ha'adadi. It must be a case where, in the case of the vineyard and the grain field, they measured at the same time, and they measured it out so that my split will include the vineyard plus da'al amot. What happened here to Lo Alu Adari? When they split the garden and the house, they didn't make any measurements. What are we dealing with, morons here who split a property and don't do a measurement? One took a house, one took a garden, they didn't measure. So what they did is they took into account the value of the materials that exist there and everything else. But they didn't measure out the airspace. When you got two fields, you want to measure the airspace and your usage. Here they didn't measure it out. Said, I want a garden, I want a house. Now, Valei Malei, why doesn't the guy with the house say, Mikara ispalita palgatli? Originally we split and I got a house. Hashta mashvili druna, now you're just giving me a little enclosed place. So I'm not getting what I originally got. Shimarashi shma ba'alma palagle. Said, no, he took a house, meaning, quote, a house, close quote. After all, Milotanya, we saw this recently in Bamitzia, Homer Beit Kur Afar ni mocher lecha. If a fellow says, I'm selling you a Beit Kur Afar, Bishan Aletach, even though it's only half a Kur, Aletach, he giyo, the sale is good, why shlo machar lo al hashma, meaning he sold him a place called Beit Kur, Behudim Mitkar Beit Kur, only if it's really called Beit Kur. Pardes ani mocher lecha, I'm selling you a Pardes, Bishan Barimonim, even if you come and there are no pomegranates there, no fruit trees, he giyo, it's still a sale, shlo machar lo al hashma, he sold him, quote, Pardes, close quote, put him in Kari Pardes, but it has to really be called that. And then Keramani Mocher Lecha, same thing with the vineyard, Av Bisha Ein Bog Fanim, Higiosh Lomachar Lo'el Shema, he sold it by Kerem, close quote. For the Karmakarm, it has to be called that. So, why don't we say the same thing here, that the fellow bought a quote-unquote house, and whether or not it really functions like a house doesn't matter. The answer is, in the case where the guy sells a kerem, for instance, or Beit Kur, he could say, I sold you a place that has that name. But here, you can't say, this is why we split. He'll say, you know why I split? I split to live like our father did. Our father had a house and he had a garden. The house was a house. The garden was a garden. I didn't split to take a house that would be technically called a house, but wouldn't be able to function that way. So it's not the same as this. So really, this fellow has a good claim. And the owner of the house should have a good claim, and we should reject Rav Chama. So Amrulay, Marinuka Marchisha Bredu Rav Chista Ravashi. So they told Rav Ashi, these are Rav Chista's sons, told Rav Ashi that Rav Chama was coming from a different place. Rav Chama was from Nahardea. And Nahardea, of course, the most famous personality in the history of Nahardea was Shmuel. So Nahardei Latamayu, the Nahardeans were following their own position. The Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel. Hachin Shechaku Ein Lehen Lo Derech Al Zeh Al Zeh. If brothers split property, they don't have an easement, an automatic easement, one can take from the other. V'lo Chalonot Zeh Al Zeh, they can't have windows open at each other's property. V'lo Sulamot Zeh Al Zeh, they can't use each other's ladders. V'lo Matamayim Zeh Al Zeh, they can't have a claim of a trench of water that comes to your property as you get. V'izaruba En Shalachot Kvuotim. Be very careful, these are set halachot, they're not movable. Rav Nachman's Talmud disagreed and said Yesh Lahen. They do have rights because the original property included ability to move from one place to the other, and so therefore, for instance, if one of the brothers puts up a wall that blocks the other guy's window, he does have a claim. Okay. But you see that the Nahardei said, you don't have a claim, but you've got your own property, you can do whatever you want in that property. That's why Rahama said that when the fellow put up the wall, he has the right to say, it's my property, I can put up a wall. Okay, so now, Hahushtara diatme, denafik ale tavra. So the fourth case. There was a shtar of money that was owed to a man who died, so it was owed to his yatomim. But the debtor also produced a shovar that had been paid. Amrav Chama, agbuyin lo magbinin le, umikra lo karinin le. We cannot collect with this shtar, but we could also not tear it up. Agbuyin lo magbinin le, we can't collect with it to nafak tavra le. There's a shovar. So you can't collect, the shovar might be valid. Mikra lo karinin le, but you don't tear the shtar. Why? The chigad li yatmi dilma maiti raya marile. Maybe when the yatomim grow up, they'll bring proof that the shovar is false, and the fellow still owes them money, so we don't want to tear up the shtar. So Rav Acha Bredu Rav Ravina, he challenged and said, Hilchatamai, what's the halacha in all these cases? The halacha is always like Rav Chama, meaning in the first case, in the second case, which were parallels, with the fellow in the upper story that had collapsed and said, I don't want to move out, and the fellow with the wall that was blocking the other guy's windows, and the other guy didn't want to move out to allow him to build the house up higher. In both those cases, halacha is like Rav Chama. And in the third case of the division with the garden and the house, halacha is Rav Chama, except for the last case of the shovar, Rav Chama said we can't collect with it. He said, why do I disagree and say we can collect with this shtar? We don't assume that the Edim, meaning the Edim on the Shovar, are liars. We assume they're good Edim, which means we accept the Shovar as being valid. And we cannot collect with this, but we can tear it up. We say for sure it's been paid off. You know what? We rule like Rav Chama even in this case. Why? If it was really a good Shovar, the debtor should have brought it out while father was alive. From the fact that he waited until father died, that at least we have reason to suspect that this shovar was forged. And therefore, we really do all like Rav Chama and say, we can't collect, but we also don't tear it up. We wait till the Yatomim grow up and see if they can bring proof that it really was an invalid shovar. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick up Mishnah in the next podcast. And here we have a lovely sugya that will take us quite a circuitous route through issues of civic responsibility and civic duty, and also through an important sugya of tzedakah. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.